today I was going to consider one of the most frequent emotions, really, and that's sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Without sorrow, our lives here in this world, there's an expression that we have in a prayer. It's a very popular prayer. It's the Salve Regina. It's very in Latin and in English. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. That we look Poor Lady who is in glory, but she has been through this valley of tears. When we think of her, one of her titles is Our Lady of Sorrows. Mary experienced sorrow as she stood beneath the cross. We have a very dirge-like hymn. Stabat Mater, Mary standing beneath the cross, and we used to sing those in as we made the Stations of the Cross. Stabat Mater, Dolorosa, Juxta Crucem Lacrymosa, Dum Pendebat Filius, the sorrowful mother as she stood there and watched her son hanging on a cross. And so Mary is compassionate with whatever our grief is. As we are here in this valley of sorrows, we look to Jesus also. When Jesus, who was, did Jesus experience sorrow? He certainly did. We have in the Gospel of John, that he had a deep capacity for sorrow. He went and they had called him, his friends, Mary and Martha, and they called him to come and heal Lazarus. He delayed. And then they're complaining to him in the 11th chapter John. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews with her that had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. Did Jesus have sorrow? He certainly did. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. Those who were mourning, those who were grieving, he had compassion. And so we have many experiences, all of us, in what we call in that Hail Holy Queen prayer, Valley of Tears, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. When death comes, as it did here in John's Gospel to Lazarus, the suffering and the anguish of a family. When a friend of mine, Ellen, heard that her son was killed at 25, and the grief and the pain, and when the anniversary of his death comes, the sorrow. When my mother was seeing her daughter dying and dead at 18, when death comes, that deep, weeping and pain in the hearts of parents. And when a death occurs, I know when my brother and sister-in-law experienced the death of their daughter, when my niece Denise died, that death was so agonizing. Beside that, and I watched this with regard to death and the grief that comes with it, is very lonely. You say, well, does my husband have the same grief as I do? No, not at all. Many times when a child dies, a couple soon after gets divorced, the wife feels he really doesn't know my pain. And he, the husband, thinks she doesn't know my pain. The wife thinks that her husband isn't suffering the kind of, that pain is so deep. So pain is lonely. When I'm in pain, who understands my grief? It's very, very deep and very lonely. One of the deaths that's very deep and is the death of a marriage. Divorce brings such pain. I'm dealing with a woman now, Julie, the pain in her as this man that she had married, when she looks at him. You know, they say divorce is an easy way out. It's not. That's not my experience with those who get divorced. That to stay with this person who you really never or thought you knew him, and when you were married, but then to gradually become aware that this is not the man you married. This is not the woman you marry. And then to realize that you are divorced. I don't know him. I don't understand him. There's something about this that's broken and can't be put back together. There is a tremendous grief that comes, and with regard to children, especially if there is a divorce, illness brings great sorrow. When I stand in the waiting room of intensive care, and I'm still seeing and feeling the suffering of the family, of a man who's dying, or a man who's going through an operation, and or a child who's ill, the pain and the sorrow as you find out your wife has cancer. Or as you find out your child has been in an accident. The illness and accidents bring great sorrow and great suffering. Suffering comes in many ways. When a 15-year-old decides to run away, when I was with this couple, I remember I was living in Dunmore at one of the parishes, and their daughter ran away with a soldier, and she was only 15. The sorrow in a parent's hearts, the lack of, where is she? How is she? What's happening to her? Sorrow is a tremendous, deep anguish, and it can come from many, many sources. There's a sorrow that comes. I have a grandniece, and they so want a child. And the joy calling me, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a baby. And then to miscarry. The sorrow that comes with a miscarriage. And it doesn't good, you really, I don't think so, to tell some mother who just had a miscarriage, well, you can have another, or you can get pregnant again. That doesn't help. help the hurt that this baby, this child, has been lost. I thought I was going to be a mother to this child. And the grieving, allow yourself to grieve. Sometimes, and even to name the miscarriage, because that miscarriage is. And when it miscarried, it is with God. Abortion is the most horrible thing in the world, that a mother would deliberately kill the child. But how many loving, loving mothers have the grief of a miscarriage? Maria, a woman I knew from years and years ago, was dying. And I knew her two children, Jean and her daughter, and they were standing at her bedside when she was dying. And there were others there waiting for her as she was passing from this life. And they were her miscarriages. She had named them when she had miscarried them. And now they were there, waiting for their mother to greet her when she came home to heaven. That the children, Lillian and Jean, that were here in this world, that she had loved and seen, were not her only children. Those miscarriages. And they say that miscarriage will grow up to be 33 on the other side. They were all there, waiting for their mother. That baby that you miscarried is saying, thank you, mother, for life. That baby is saying to you, thank you, dad, for life. You have children, and your miscarriage should and can be grieved when you go through that kind of suffering, of pain, of grieving the miscarriage. There's a family that I know, and they were very well to do, belonging to this parish. And they had the husband, the company that he worked for, just went out of business. And they were doing very well. And their financial loss and collapse was something that they're grieving. No job, they lost their home, the home that they love very much. Is it true? Yes, we can grieve the loss. These are material things. But there is a pain, and there is a sorrow, and there is this grief. Now, are they starving? No. No, but you can grieve great financial losses. You know, sometimes people just pass that by. And as they see you go from one kind of level of living to another, a husband and a wife. And I watched this in this couple, and they adjusted to another's lifestyle and the kind of house they live in, or an apartment, instead of the big home and the cars and the kind of life that they had led. It's detachment, and they're going to be okay, but should there be, and can there be sorrow? Sure. Grieve the loss of your financial losses. And as you make that adjustment, God is going to take care of you. You still will have your daily bread. But there is a loss there. And I think many in these days, especially if you lose your home, there's a loss. There's a reason for grieving here. The other sorrow that I think is on my heart to speak with you about, and some of you have experienced this, a broken relationship. When you have what you think is the soulmate that you found, someone that you really never had a love experience like this. And then you discover that this person really, really never returned the love that you had and you thought you had. Grieving the loss of relationship, a special relationship, that is a tremendous pain. I think all of us, at some time or other, had an experience of being let down. When Jesus loved Judas, he did. He cared for him. He loved him. And to be betrayed in a relationship, to be cast off, and especially if that was done for money, the kind of a broken relationship, that kind of grief that you carry in your heart, and how to get over that grief. There's the psalmist, it's the kind of grief that you actually believe that you will never get over. There is a psalm that the psalmist with us cries out. It's a human, my being thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet the Lord and see him face to face? My tears have been my food day and night as they ask me daily, where is your God? The thing about sorrow is in your grief, you think it's never going to end. When will I see the face of God? When will God come to console me? Day and night I cry and I feel no relief. The psalmist cries out with us also. There's a tremendous pain in the loss and the suffering that we're enduring. We cry out, but for a long time. You see, sorrow is on another level. It so penetrates into the heart that its consolation is a spiritual one. It goes so deep into the inner self. Who but God can touch this? And if we're really frequently told that turn to the scriptures, hear the voice of God. You see, with God, He is within us. The voice of God that we want to hear, where are you? And He is within you. He wants to communicate with you. There is a voice of consolation, an inner voice that can say, here I am. I am with you. I am not only beside you, I am in you. The old Negro spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. The slave in his sorrow and his grief could always turn to Jesus. Nobody knows. You can almost hear it in that song. The trouble I see, nobody knows but Jesus. He hears, he knows, he understands my grief. And that voice of God is within me. To listen to that voice, it's there calling out to me. Isaiah in the 43rd chapter, he talks about the presence of God. Where is God? And beginning with verse 20 of the 30th chapter, chapter of Isaiah, the Lord will give you the bread you need and the water for which you thirst. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes shall you see your teacher, while from behind you a voice shall sound in your ears. See, that voice is an inner voice. This is the way you should walk in it. When you would turn to the right or turn to the left, he will guide you, he will direct you and console you and bring you to where you want to go. The Lord is within you, calling you, consoling you, soothing you in what you're going through in your spiritual grief, in your sorrow. Turn to me, all you who are sorrowful. I will console you. Learn from me, Jesus said. I am meek and humble of heart. Your soul will find rest. I will console you, says the Lord. Come to me. His sacred heart is within you. The grief, the suffering, the pain that you're feeling, you feel all alone and that it will last forever. Sorrow, as with any desolation and pains, will pass. They will. This world is not just made up of sorrow, but when you're in it, you feel like you'll never get out of it. We are really, and it's really true that our lives are joy and sorrow. The Arabic proverb that life is one tear and one laugh, one rose and one thorn. It's a mixture. It's not all thorns, it's not all sorrow. And joy and consolation awaits you. It will come as He is with you in the sorrow. He is with you in your grief. He wants to bear it with you. Come to me. Because when we allow this, whatever this is that's burdening you, that whatever the pain, if I haven't named it for you, whatever it might be, name your sorrow. What is it that's grieving you now? What is it that you are sad and unconsolable about? What is it? Name it and bring it to the Lord. Lord, this is what I have today. This grief, these tears, this sorrow. Name it and let Him share it with you. Let Him bear your sorrow. Let me be with you in your sorrow. He only longs to be with you today. I want to. When you're down and out, feeling sad, when tears are in your eyes, no matter what you're going through, He's there. I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. He's there. He's inside of you. He's as close to you as you are to yourself. In fact, your pain is his. He is bearing it with you. Your cross is his cross. He's allowing you to share it. Let him bear that burden so that you can experience what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. My yoke is easy, and it is. The death of your son, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, a divorce, no matter what it be, let him share it with you. He is within you and wants to bear it with you.
Monsignor, can we make a mistake in thinking that the sorrow or the grief we may have is something that I need to bear, and I can't burden God with that?
Oh, yeah.
Or he wants me to carry this, and somehow, do you know what I mean? The paradigm can get a bit twisted when we're in that deep reservoir of sorrow.
I really believe, Chris, that's a ploy of the devil, that God wants me to suffer alone. That is not true. That's the reason why he sent his son. The very reason why Jesus is in the world today. He came to bear our sorrows, to share our burden. That's the very reason why he's in you and came and wants to be with you. And the evil one is constantly saying, bear it alone. Because it's unbearable. If you really know what sorrow is, it's unbearable. The only one who has been able to bear that is Jesus. And when you bear it with him, it not only becomes bearable, but it can be joy. There are great saints who see the relationship between the cross and their union with God. So their union with God comes through, in, and with the cross and the sorrow they bear. So much so that it's mistaken. The mistake is that they love the suffering. No, they love him who bears their suffering with them. It's a deep opening to the mystics who see. They sue him in the pain. After a while, so many of us will find Our Lady through our suffering that eventually, you know, as much as our earthly mother can love us, there comes a time when only that spiritual side of us, only Mary and only Jesus can be there with us. There comes a time, as much as a mother loves her child, there is it in the psalm, when can a mother abandon her baby, the child of her womb? Yet even if she forgets, yes, even if she forgets, I will never forget my own. And so that the God who made us, your mother carried you in her womb. Your father sired you, but God created you. That soul that's here, that's in you, that which is listening to me now, in the deepest part of your heart, where you're really hearing this, where that sorrow lies, that's open to God, your father. Because he made you. He brings you there. He is a jealous God. He is your father. He is your one that understands and hears. So much does he love you. You know, when you and your wife came together and had a child, that child is the expression of your love. Jesus is the expression of God's love for humankind. Jesus is the expression of God's love. God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary. That expression that came to be was Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is love. Jesus is love who came from love, God our Father, Jesus our brother, by the power of the Holy Spirit who is love. He is in you. He knows and loves your sorrow. And through it, he is bringing you to his own heart. Your sorrow is a way by which he draws you into his sacred heart. God bless you.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Well, that expression of love is really what the sorrow you bear, and there's someone here who may be listening to me, and you feel you have the greatest suffering in the world right now. Name it. You have the potential with that of being united with love itself, who sees and knows and is the only one who sees and knows your sorrow and will and wants to console you. Now, bring it to him, name it, and unite it with him, and it will become joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. God bless.